What's up, Oos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Ace Vingen and Donick 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and Connor Newton here with you on a Friday. We hope you are having a stress-free commute home to start your weekend and to help us, or to help you rather. It is time for Ask D-Mace. You can help us by calling or texting at 615-737-1025 if you have any sort of question for Derek Mason. But before we get to your questions, we do need to have a conversation about something that happened in the studio about an hour ago. Derek, would you like to do the honors and set us up here?
Absolutely. So yesterday, I told my children that I was going to grill put some ribs on a grill. And they were excited. Everybody was excited in the household. So I did just that. They loved them. So, you know, if you cook a lot of them, there's always leftovers. So had the leftovers. So I figured I'd bring some for lunch. My daughter was like, Dad, you need to take some for lunch. You didn't eat. So, all right, let me pack this up. Boom, brought it in. So hour into the show, I decide I'm hungry. So I go into our kitchen and I warm up my food. And I come back in the studio. That was the first problem. I should have just stayed in there. But I was like, I got to get back. But I should have stayed in there. But either way. So I come back in, and I'm eating it, and we're on break. And all of a sudden, I went to turn, and my elbow hit, the little thing that I had my meat in. And it fell on the floor. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Some of it got on me.
Some of it got on. Not a lot. Some of the enough residual of the beans that was on there. It got on Adam a little bit. You know, I clean it off. He'll live. He'll be all right. That's why they invented washers and dryers. But it fell on the floor. So I picked it up. I put it back in. And then Willie, to my right, said, 5 second rule. When the 5 second rule, you can still eat it. You can still eat it. And I'm like, no. I will never, and I repeat, I will never eat anything off of this floor. You know how many shoes come walking through this place? You know how many times people come up and down those stairs, walking through the park, may have walked through their grass, had some poop in the grass or pee, and they walk through here. I don't care if it was on the ground for a second, I'm still not eating it.
All right, I have questions.
So the question is, Willie, what the question y'all want to pose to me is
okay,
what?
The 5 second rule, mm-hmm. I think, we need some discussion. Our listeners need to have input on this. But first of all, when you brought the ribs in,
yes,
I was the smell was great. Uh-huh. It was heated up.
Yes.
I'm like, ooh, that looks good. And yes, then the tragedy strikes, and it goes on the floor. And you picked it up so quick, I was like, he's going to do the 5 second rule.
No.
All right. So clearly, this particular surface,
yes,
is a factor.
Exactly. Absolutely. Okay. 100%.
So do you use the 5 second rule if you're more comfortable with the surface that it falls on?
I don't use the five. The only time I use the 5 second rule is inside my own home. That's okay. Only time I use the 5 second rule. And then that sometimes I'm like, depending on what it is, I'm like, I just throw it away.
See, I'm very liberal with the 5 second rule. So here's another one. Adam, all right, let's just ask D-Mace. So we're going to pepper D-Mace first. What about the rinse-off? If you get the 5 second rule and then maybe a little rinse-off, if you think there could be a little film or, you know, some particles, debris that has been picked up, is that okay? Do you do that?
Again.
You have not. Like, I'll say D-Mace has been, he has kept this perfectly nice piece of meat sitting here in the
right
studio
there
for an hour here.
Absolutely. I will not touch it. I repeat, I will not touch it. The only thing
Can you repair the rinse off, the cleanup?
No. Okay. Certain things, but not again. A piece of meat is different. If I would have dropped an apple on the floor.
Okay. With
the skin on, I would have went and wiped it, cleaned it off good, scraped the skin off, and then.
That doesn't count.
Yeah. But outside of that, no. Uh-uh.
Adam, how do you feel about the 5-second rule?
I agree.
I live by the 5-second
rule. I agree with Derek. It depends on where you are. If I'm in my own home and I know the cleanliness factor,
yes,
I am more willing to adhere by the 5-second rule. I would never eat anything that fell on this floor.
Even with the rinse off?
Especially with the rinse off.
What? See, I would do it. And I know about this floor.
It's not good.
Several years ago, my wife and I were traveling, and we were at the airport, and we stopped by a bagel place. Mm-hmm. My wife ordered a bagel. She opened it up. It was the wrong bagel. We go back. They remake the bagel. It's the wrong bagel a second time. Mm. We go back a third time. They make the correct bagel. We go and sit down, and as soon as she unwraps the bagel, part of it falls on the floor.
Oh.
And I said, you better eat that damn bagel. So in that case, I did not practice what I preach. But in that case, I said, you better eat that damn bagel. I'm not going back a fourth time.
It's an airport bagel, too. It's expensive.
Mm. Yeah, it's not cheap.
Running a little extra.
I'm still
in the line sometimes at the airport could be a little long.
The only time I'm going to eat it is if that's the last meal I'm going to ever get.
One texter, appropriately named T-Bone, says the 5-second rule only applies to cookies, not meat. The meat juices will grab too much of the floor scum.
Yes, the funk.
Wes says if anything gets within 6 inches of a Waffle House floor, burn it. It may contain several diseases.
Oh man!
Do we know who invented the 5-second rule?
I don't know.
It's because like. Who deemed it? It's five.
It had to be a scientist, because reason you would have
or Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah, that because you know how long it would take for like other particles to get on it before it's contaminated, truly contaminated.
Wow. Now that I would be curious. Is there science behind 5 seconds as opposed to 3 or 2?
One texter says Willie needs to eat the rib if it's still there.
No, I wouldn't let Willie eat it. No.
But Willie's more willing to.
He's doubled down.
No,
I think he has to.
I would not
let
him.
He needs to
take
a bite.
Mm-mm.
Take a bite.
If I get to rinse it.
You can't rinse this. No. I think if you rinse it, it still would be bad, Willie. Because now you're rinsing the juices and the spices.
It's been way more than 5 seconds. So, like, if we had time. Like, if it were to happen again, and you rescued it in the 5 seconds, and you said you were going to pass, then I would have done it.
Oh, so if I drop this again.
No, it's already been dropped. It's already,
it's been tainted.
It's been funkified now for an hour. It's been sucking in the whatever the debris that it picked up on the floor.
Which may include some of Rex Rhodes' gout, far as I know.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't be too safe these days.
Yes. All right. Let's go to our phone line.
If you get it within 5 seconds, I feel good about it.
What if it does a double fall? You ain't thinking about the double fall.
You got to handle that with care. If you rescue with the 5-second rule, you can't drop it again.
Let's go to our phone line and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, thank you for waiting and calling. Go ahead.
I think it's got a lot to do with the rib, doesn't it? Like, how good is that rib? And
it looks good.
Because we grew up poor white trash. Like, we are not wasting food. But the thought of rinsing off cooked meat and then eating it, you're washing away the seasoning. Like,
yes.
We wouldn't even do that. Like, no, I mean, we wouldn't waste food. But I can't imagine a scenario. But like Derek, I can imagine he's a good cook. He's probably had plenty of opportunity to cook. And so I'm like, if it's a good enough rib, I'm going for it, man. Like, I don't know. I'm not stopping right there. Not why I called, but I couldn't listen to that and not give my input, man. So, Derek, here's my question for you. Uh-huh. I'm pretty miserable sports fan right now because there's not much on. Stanley Cup final coming to the end. I think the Knicks are probably going to win, which makes me sad as well. So I was going to see if there's ever a sport that you watch and you're like, this makes me miserable. Because that, soccer does that to me, man. It, like, puts something weird in my stomach. I can't watch it. And the thought that it's the only thing we have besides baseball, which is 600 games in a year, makes me sad. So I was going to see if there's any sport that does that to you.
Thanks,
nah, I would say the sport that comes close to it, not because – I mean, I respect the sport a lot because I could never play it. Baseball just does something to, like, I can't really, as much as I try to get into it, even when, now, it's easier for me to get into it when there's a vested interest, like Vanderbilt. It's easy for me to get into it because there's an attachment to it. But baseball in general is like, it's hard for me to immerse myself, even in a World Series, even though, you know, and we talk about it, it's still hard for me to immerse myself into baseball. Even when the Tigers were winning and I was living in Detroit, my dad loved it. He would watch baseball every time he came home from work. He'd grab his beer and his word puzzle, and he'd sit in his room and whatnot and watch baseball, watch the Tigers play. I just never saw any excitement in that. I respect it, but it's like I could never really get into it like I can, you know, baseball, basketball, football, and hockey.
Willie, any sport that makes you feel the way that soccer makes Adam feel?
Yeah, I think I've expanded my horizons a lot in watching different sports, like trying to learn about sports that I don't have that connection to. But yeah, nothing comes to mind for me. I did get a serious lesson as a young broadcaster back in the 90s when I challenged race car drivers. I, being the dumb young guy that I was, said, race car drivers, they're not athletes. Now that certained up a hornet's nest that I was not expecting, and boy, did I hear it. But I've expanded my horizon since then. I've learned to appreciate the finer points of being a race car driver.
Let's go to Dustin on our phone line. Dustin, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hope you're doing well. I got to agree, man. I've given soccer so many chances, and that one just – I can't find it in my heart to do it. So I think I'd rather watch curling or, I don't know, badminton or something. But I did want to ask a question. This has been weighing on my heart for years and years and years, and D-Mace is the perfect person to ask this question to. But I'm a season ticket holder. My buddy shared tickets, and we've probably had them for, I don't know, the past 12 years or so. One thing I've noticed – in other stadiums, or actually two things I've noticed, so I'll just ask them at the same time. But in other stadiums, the players seem to be very interactive with the fan base and the crowd and jumping up on the side and touching them and just really enjoying it, making it awesome. And at the Titan Stadium, I don't know if there's like a rule that they can't pass this little yellow line on the sideline or not allowed to come touch your hand or say hey to you if that's in their contract or something or what. But I want to know what the deal is with that. Why it seems like every other stadium gets to have fun and enjoy their players and, like, interact. And I've never, ever seen them touch or get in the crowd or do anything with the crowd since I've been there. And then also, I've seen a couple footballs go into the stands. And usually they'll go get that one because I've heard there's a chip in it or whatever, and they'll take it back. But they've never even given the people, like, a replacement football to take home or anything. They literally just take it, and then it's like, okay, thanks for the ball. Enjoy the game. So anyways, I didn't know if you had input on that or if you knew anything being an ex-player. So
thank you. Appreciate the,
thanks, Dustin.
The call, Dustin. As far as guys, there are some, like Green Bay is known for the Lambeau Leap. So, you know, you will see their players more times than not in the fans area, you know, being a part of it when they score. And full disclosure, when I was playing, I saw that and I enjoyed it and loved it. And I started doing it here when I would score a touchdown. So I jumped to the stands a few times because I saw how much it sort of drew the fans to the player and to the organization. I think you may see it a little bit more, the engagement. with the new stadium, I think, because they want you to feel like these some of these new stadiums now, they want you to feel a part of what's going on, whether it's suites at the ground level where you can see the players coming out of the locker room and walking through, and you can hit on the glass and, you know, say hi to your favorite player. You see them as they're actually coming out of the locker room, or when they're on the sidelines, you're close to them. It's almost, in a sense, like basketball, in a sense, where they've drawn the fields closer to the player, because that allows you to truly get a feel, or closer to truly getting a feel of how it is on the field. So they don't do it much here. I think a lot of it is because of the way the stadium is constructed. And, you know, you just don't see the players doing that, especially during the game. But I'm sure, like, before the games, you know, players, and I've seen it where players go up and talk to, you know, fans and or give them autographs. But during the game, yeah, you're right. They don't. And it can change. It's not like they're telling them not to do it. If a guy want to, after he scores, go jump in the stands right there, they allow you, that's something they allow you to do. I don't think they fine you for that. But I think a lot of it is the way the stadium is constructed now, as opposed to what it's going to look like. And then the ball thing, typically, if the way you get a football is a guy hands it to you, a player hands it to you, either before the game, they throw a football while we're warming up, they throw a football to a kid, or they give a kid a football. Or during the game, if you score, they go and deliberately give it to somebody. But if it's thrown in the stands or kicked in the stands, the NFL wants it back.
Ricky says, season ticket holder, they do bring a replacement ball.
Do they? Do they? I didn't know that.
Wes says, Delanie Walker signed an autograph for me in the third quarter when we played the Raiders at home years ago. It's just not something they do very often at all. Still think we got screwed in that game with a PI call that was literally on the opposite side of the field. Made no freaking sense. And yes, I'm still mad about that game years later. 615-737-1025. We will continue Ask D-Mace. Coming up next, also multiple people are asking Willie to eat the piece of meat that fell on the floor. 615-737-1025. Willie Tonic, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Tonic, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, Backstreet Boys. Also, I need to reintroduce Connie the two-toned kitty cat. Right? That's your new nickname?
I was hoping you would find this.
What happened?
On Next Man Up, Connor filled in with Jake Lyman this morning, and apparently he was christened with the new nickname, Connie the Two-Toned Kitty Cat.
Well, it evolved into Kitty Cat Connie, which is even worse.
And
why?
And who gave you this nickname?
It started with Dustin of Hopkinsville. He accidentally typed the word Connie trying to talk to me, and then our good buddy Weston Hermitage took it and ran with it. So it has been an all day battle across the
kitty
station.
Cat Connie.
Connie the two-toned kitty cat.
Not as funny as what I just heard.
Well, let me ask the question that led to the story I told off the air, which I will tell a PG version of.
Yes.
On the air.
Oh, man.
Gino says, I need some tips, Derek.
Yes.
We have a 2-year-old daughter who is trying to potty train. We got Donald Duck walking around the house because Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants. And constantly asking her if she needs to go to the bathroom, and she has about a 500 batting average. Mm. Any tips on getting that percentage up?
Oh, man. Well, I can remember, but vaguely, I can remember where we would have my daughter and son, but even though they were born in different years, but we have both of them. Sometimes we would just sit them down while they're watching their favorite show, just sit them on a potty after feeding them, sit them on a potty and just let them stay there. And then once they, you know, use the bathroom, you got to be nice. Hey, good job. It's almost sound like you're doing it. Yeah. Potty training a puppy, in a sense. But I guess that's how it is, in a sense. But that's what we did. Now, I know parenting has changed a lot since 1999 and year 2000, to when DJ was born in Bailey. But those are some of the things that, you know, we did And I'm sure there may have been some other things that you know, their mom did that I wasn't privy to when I was at work. So, you know, that's one thing that I would do was.
So here,
I didn't let them go commando.
Here's the story that I told off the air. So when my wife and I were potty training our son, we let him go commando because that's what we heard or learned or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I took him to a YMCA.
He wasn't commando, people.
Well, he was wearing shorts with no underwear.
Shorts, yes.
He was wearing shorts with no underwear because we were told, hey, when they're potty training, don't put them in underwear because they'll think it feels like a diaper and want to go to the bathroom. Hmm. So I made sure before I put him in the little daycare at the Y that he went to the bathroom. I got summoned shortly thereafter because Arlo dropped a dookie on the playground and it fell out of his shorts.
Oh, boy.
That would be... Oh, man. Gosh.
So it was a little subtle. You know, it wasn't like a huge... Like, when you first said it, I thought, you know, he just, you know, set up shop in the playground.
No, he didn't pull...
It was accidental.
From what I understand, because I wasn't there,
oh my goodness.
It wasn't like he pulled down his pants right. went to the bathroom. Yeah. He had to go.
Brought in the newspaper, you know, favorite book.
Was he a cat?
He wasn't Connie, the two-toned kitty cat.
What he's added a newspaper.
Tears are being shed in the studio right now.
Let's just say the people at the Y were not happy.
Oh my goodness.
I'm hoping I've made everybody feel better about the trials and tribulations of this.
Kids nowadays.
I mean, that 500 batting average sounds pretty good. Now,
oh my goodness.
I would have taken 500.
Yeah.
Arlo batted like 375.
I was going to say 500 is not bad at the beginning.
Oh,
of
my goodness.
There's going to be some challenge.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can't get them all.
Who is that, Arlo? He just read the paper.
I got a stern talking to from the people at the Y. They're like, he needs to wear underwear. I'm like, he's potty training. Give him a break.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, let's get this back on track. Michael in Madison says, Derek, you've been given a Willy Wonka ability to make one of your favorite candies last forever. You can keep it in your mouth as long as you'd like, phrasing. Which candy are you choosing? So if you had the power to make any candy last forever, what are you going to choose?
Wow, what candy am I going to choose? Not candy bar, right?
I mean, it can be whatever you want.
It can be a candy bar? Two?
Well, when I think of this question, I think of
hard
like
candy,
like a hard candy. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, all right.
Like an everlasting gobstopper.
Oh man, I would say probably a Jolly Rancher.
Mmm.
The grape kind. Oh, they're so good.
Jolly Ranchers are good.
Oh man, they're so good.
Here's my answer to that question: a Tootsie Roll Pop before the Tootsie Roll.
Oh, you're right. Tootsie Roll.
I don't like Tootsie Rolls. But I like the flavors of Tootsie Roll Pop. So how about a Tootsie Roll Pop that never gets to the Tootsie Roll?
Hmm. But then
wait a minute.
Wait, the
purpose. Aren't there things you can get that avoid having to deal with the Tootsie Roll?
I like the taste of Tootsie Roll Pops, but I don't like Tootsie Rolls. I'm just saying.
But that's like the gold. Yeah. Like that's what you're going for.
It's the process.
Exactly.
And then the payoff.
How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop?
Mr. Owl, you should ask that. Yeah.
Three. Three.
I'm with Adam. I don't like the Tootsie Pops.
What?
I like the outside, but
yeah.
I don't like the chocolate. Chocolate and fruit don't mix.
Mm. I mean, sometimes they do.
I like the Tootsie Pop. I like the Charms Blow Pops myself.
Oh.
That would be not my number one.
See, that's the move. Yeah. The gum with the gum in the middle. That's the move.
The sour apple. That was my jam.
I remember I used to sour apples.
Sour apple.
Oh, Jolly Ranch. Oh, the sticks. The Jolly Rancher stick.
Charms Blow Pop.
Uh-huh.
Sour apple with the gum in the middle.
Oh, yes.
And then you kind of crunch the end of the
candy as the gum is hitting you, that's a big rush.
How about a fireball? I used to love those when I was little.
I don't do hot.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well,
those are good. That wouldn't be my number one, but I had my share of the fireballs.
I'm being scolded by one texter.
Oh, boy.
If you're going out in public and your child is not potty trained, they need a diaper on. You potty train them at home, not in public. Well, you know what?
Oh,
my son turned out okay. He doesn't poop on the floor anymore.
He's not grabbing a newspaper and going in a corner.
No, he's fine. He gets it mostly in the toilet.
Don't all kids.
But you said the Y gave you a talking to?
The people who are in charge of the children.
Area.
Children area, they're like, he really needs to be wearing underwear. I'm like, I'm sorry, he's potty training. They weren't like, you can never come back to the Donaldson Hermitage YMCA.
Did anybody faint like the woman in Caddyshack when Bill
you
Murray
are banished.
When Bill Murray threw the candy bar in the pool?
No, nobody fainted
nobody
as far
fainted.
As
okay.
I know.
See?
The people who work there, and they are wonderful people. They've seen much worse than the child pooping on a playground.
I can't get this vision out of the head because Willie threw the newspaper in there. And then, so I'm going to throw in the spray can that he had in his pocket of his shorts. He just grabbed his newspaper when he was finished. He just sprayed. So would nobody
the potpourri
smell
spray?
It. Yes.
Yeah. Nose blind.
Oh, man. That's a good one.
Well,
good one.
We had a football-related question for you on Ask D-Mace. Willie brought this to our attention yesterday. Mm-hmm. The L.A. Rams have decided to cancel mandatory minicamp. They're not even reporting. Thanks for coming to OTAs. We'll see you for training camp. And you don't like this very much. Why?
Because, and now the Rams are known for doing it.
And other teams have done it. Apparently the Niners and the Seahawks have done it. It must be an NFC West thing. But
could be.
But apparently Sean McVay does this on an annual basis.
Yeah, so obviously it's not hurting them from that standpoint. Because, well, Seattle just won a Super Bowl. The Rams was in a Super Bowl. And San Fran has been, competing for that spot for the longest. But the reason that I disagree with it, I don't like it, because you only have so many days anyway. Coaches bitch and moan about, not having enough time. We can't sit there and we can't teach our guys because we don't have enough time. But then you do this. And I get it. They had full 100% participation, I think, in their OTAs, if I'm not mistaken, or in their off-season workouts. So there's always this sense of rewarding the guys. But this is a part of your job. That's the way I look at it. Like, it's a part of your job. Like, you want to get better, don't you? I can't fuss too much because they're winning. But still, when you already are limited with the time you get with the guys, I just think every opportunity you can get to spend there with the guys, especially in today's football, then you take it. It's because they're not giving you any. They're not saying, okay, since you took away those 3 days, we're going to give you an extra 3 days. They're not. And I guarantee you one of these coaches are going to be complaining about not having enough time in one of these years. And it's like, well, you do if you use it wisely. So I'm not too – bent out of shape over it, but knowing that, the NFL, has stripped away a lot of it, and I understand why, because we were going. Like, we never seemed to have a break, and I mean, honestly. And didn't, guys, don't complain about you go. But the NFL said, and the Players Union was like, okay, we got to get these guys some rest because they are there, like, 90% of the time. Like, you have to be there. So they cut back on it. And then when they cut back on it, coaches start complaining. We don't have enough time. So
veteran team as opposed to young team.
Yeah.
Like I just thought when I read that, if the Titans did that, people would go nuts, right? Yeah. With a young team, a young quarterback, new coaches, like you wouldn't do it. So maybe a veteran team, 49ers, I guess, Rams, I guess, maybe it makes a little more sense, but I'm kind of with you. It's like, don't you want to work on your craft? You get very little time. Mm-hmm. In the offseason as opposed to before.
Yeah. And that's the only reason. That's the only reason I disagree with it, because the coaches fought you know, for the days, and now they're just, oh, we only got to practice because y'all showed up. Well, showing up was part of the agreement.
It's part of your job.
Exactly.
Ron on our text line says, hey, D-Mace, do you think that if in the offseason Victor Wembanyama can gain 15 to 20 pounds of muscle, he will be unstoppable or very hard to deal with? Because right now he could hide behind a flagpole playing hide and seek. Also, it's a three-second rule. 5 seconds is too long.
Yes. Dude is damn near almost. He's unstoppable as it is. 15 to 20 pounds of muscle. How would that look on somebody 7'4", Willie?
I've always been curious about that. Strength training for a guy that big and that skinny. I saw some guys at Vanderbilt. We had some, you know, 6'10", 7-foot guys who needed to put on weight and strength. And, you know, it's a lot of it's balance, too, right? Like with Wembanyama, some of it is just him keeping his center of gravity as people are just banging him around.
Pushing him around,
if he can hold his ground, you got no chance of him around the basket. On most plays, like he almost looks like he doesn't have to jump to dunk the ball. And so he is very limber, and he's got great movements for a guy at 7'4". So, man, it would be scary, I think, if he could hold his ground a little easier. So, but a strength coach, that would be like a strength coach specialist, right? You'd have to specialize in what you do for a guy like that as opposed to a general dude just trying to put on
6'3", a 6'4" guy, you know. I would tend to believe the way, like the mechanics are different with them lift. I don't know. I'm not a, what do they call it? Not a scientist, but a
strength and conditioning coach?
Yeah, strength and conditioning coach or a
physician?
No, not a physician, no. I'll figure it out in a minute. But I'm sure the same sort of workout template that they give Brunson isn't what they would give, or Castle isn't what they would give for Wimby.
I would imagine. Here's my strength and conditioning coach story from freshman year at Vanderbilt. So I was pretty skinny. You know, I needed to get bigger, stronger. And it was fall workouts before the practices started freshman year. And so I was pretty excited. I thought I had made some progress. Our strength and conditioning coach, Brad Bates, great guy, super enthusiastic. You know, he would smile as he was telling you to 10 push-ups. You know, like he would be smiling at you. Up, too slow, 20 push-ups. You know, but he would be smiling. He wouldn't yell at you, but it was super positive. So I was excited to tell him about my progress after a couple weeks of this. I was like, Coach Bates, hey, I'm now doing this. I've moved up this many percentage, and I've got this many reps on this weight. He goes, great, Willie. Just don't go around telling everybody who your weights coach is, okay? I was like, okay, so I still got some work to do. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not the one training you, Willie. Sports just science.
Keep
that's
my name
it
on the down.
That's what I was looking for.
Oh, you're the guy that works out, Willie Donahue. Oh boy, he's skinny, man. Oh man.
Oh man.
615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show coming up next. Willie Donahue, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, wrapping up the week. A fun edition of Ask D-Mace. Hopefully Arlo, he might be listening right now. He might be on his way home from school. Hi, buddy.
He's going to deny doing this. He's like, I didn't do that.
Sorry, I told everybody about you potty training.
It's like, I didn't do that. What are you talking about, Dad?
What are you talking about?
Well, the last time I told a story about Arlo on the air, he happened to be listening. I talked about getting a milkshake. And then when I called my wife after the show to say hello, from the back I hear, Daddy, I want a milkshake too.
Well, I hope you hear this one.
No. I guess Daddy's going to be pooping his pants later. I don't know. The things you do for your kids, right?
Not pooping my pants.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. All right. Back to sports for a moment.
Yes.
We could have two champions crowned this weekend. Tomorrow, the New York Knicks look to close out the San Antonio Spurs in game 5 of the NBA Finals, a 7:30 p.m. Central start on ABC. The Knicks looking to win their first championship since 1973. I know that it is not take it to the bank season, but why the hell not? We'll do a brief out-of-season version of take it to the bank. Do the New York Knicks finish off the Spurs tomorrow? Willie Donick.
I think the Spurs will find a way to get the game at home. I just think it's destiny. I just want to see so badly another game at MSG. And by the way, can we not? I saw the clips today of the last play after the tip by Anunoby. The Spurs had the side out of bounds with 1.2 on the clock. And I'm not kidding. I didn't know this when it was happening, but the fans on the court literally were trying to stand as close to Harper, who was inbounding the ball, as they possibly could. Like, did not let him breathe. Like, the ref did nothing to move everybody back. Like, there's some weird guy. It wasn't a celebrity. He just had, like, a neon Knicks orange shirt on, and he was, like, trying to get up in his personal space. Like, come on.
There's nothing they can do about it.
The referee has got to say, we are not inbounding this ball until you guys move back. Like, come on.
The seats are already set. Even if they're sitting in their seats, they're still like
He was standing. Like, he was right in his personal space.
I think that's the NBA problem. That's not even a referee's problem.
That really annoyed me. And it was a great play by Towns. You know, he tipped the pass. Otherwise, they might have had a clean backdoor layup. Whoa, he was open for a second there.
Goodness. If that was a clean throw, that game may have gone the other way.
But I've never seen a game like that with the energy, with all of the people in the first row or so, the celebrities and the people. I mean, we're looking at clips of it right now. Like, everybody's standing. They're right on the court. That's crazy. So I want to see it again. But I just think the refs and the big play, when there's a side out of bounds, get the people back.
They can't, man. Not in New York. Fans are, take them out. What do you mean, get back?
Listen to the ref.
Do I want the Knicks to end it? Yes, because I want the Knicks to win a championship. And I think if, even though they've shown that, you know, pressure to them isn't much, because they've managed to overcome big deficits, either, you know, whether it was in New York, I mean, when they played Cleveland or now. But just because how the games have gone, how exciting it has been, I'm pulling for San Antonio to win this game, because I do want to see another game. I do want to see it at Madison Square Garden. I think the NBA wants to see it back at Madison Square Garden as well.
I am wondering about the psyche of the San Antonio Spurs after blowing a 29-point lead in an NBA Finals game. Is their youth a positive or a negative in this situation? Can they just shake it off, or does it truly affect them in this Game 5?
Good question. I think it helps. I think they're young and naive enough to say...
Naive is a good word.
Cocky enough, too. To say, like, Wemby's already come out and said, hey, everybody knows we're going to do it. Like, they've got that thing to them. They're just oblivious to the reality. So I think they'll be all right.
For them, it's not about whether they believe they can do it or, you know, because I think they're going to come out. And they're going to play the way they had been playing. It's about them keeping that lead. It's about them in those tough minutes at the end of the game. That's when their lack of veteran leadership shows up. It does, you know, because each time they've been in these close games with the Knicks, more times than not, the Knicks have won it. And that's why they're up 3-1. But I think they'll come back and they'll play well for three quarters and maybe even three and a half. But if the game's close, that's when I worry about San Antonio. Is this the time where they break through?
I think the Spurs win one more game. I think this goes at least six and heads back to Madison Square Garden early next week. Also this weekend, Sunday, game 6 of the Stanley Cup final, Carolina at Vegas. Carolina won last night. The Hurricanes can win their first Stanley Cup title in 20 years with a win on Sunday in Vegas. And if Carolina wins, by the way, it will be the third time that the Stanley Cup is awarded in Las Vegas already, because the Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup against Vegas in Vegas. Vegas won the Stanley Cup in Vegas, if memory serves, when they won their title. And then Carolina could win it in Vegas. So it's the third time. I'll have to double check that. But it would be the third time already that the Stanley Cup gets handed out in Vegas. Willie Donick, do the Hurricanes do it?
I think we're going to see a game seven. I think I'll take Carolina in the seventh game back in Raleigh, but I think Vegas is going to win game six. I think they'll get enough. I still think I presume that Rod Brind'Amour will go back with Bussey in goal, and I think Vegas can get to him. I think they're going to force Brind'Amour to make the tough decision. Do I stay with Bussey, or do I go back to a rested Freddie Anderson? That would be a really tough decision to make, and it would depend some probably on just how Bussey plays. If in that scenario, does he give up one or two that maybe you're saying, maybe I've gotten as much as I can out of him, I got to go back to Anderson, who was so good before they made the switch. But I think it's going to be, it's been such a great series. This one, it's got to go seven because of the drama that we've seen so far. It would be a little anticlimactic if it didn't.
I'm with Tortorelli. I'm 10 toes down with him. Seven games. We're coming back.
He's leaving clothes in Carolina.
Yes.
He is so sure they are coming back to win. I think the Hurricanes do it.
Ooh.
I think the Hurricanes pull it off in Vegas and win the first Stanley Cup in 20 years for the franchise.
It looks like William Karlsson is out for Vegas.
And that doesn't help.
Oh.
Yeah.
That does not help.
And he, when you're looking at why did they struggle some during the regular season, they struggled quite a bit. They fired the coach, all of that. Karlsson missed most of the regular season, and he's given him a good lift since then in the playoffs. And now it looks like he's got something bad.
It seemed like a wrist or a hand.
He broke something. That's what is the speculation.
Here's why I think Carolina is going to win on Sunday. They have made it to this point without their top line firing on all cylinders. Logan Stankoven's been great. Jordan Staal has been out of this world in this series specifically. But throughout the postseason, it was a major storyline. Where's Sebastian Aho? Where's Seth Jarvis? Where's Andrei Svechnikov? Well, last night, they got two goals from Andrei Svechnikov and one from Sebastian Aho. And I think if that top line is clicking, I'm not sure Vegas is going to be able to respond. So that's why I feel Carolina is going to win.
I think that's reasonable, and because you see, when you're playing a seven-game series, everybody on the other team is gearing up to how do you keep in control the top weapons? It's like that's where you start. Like you can't let the top players go wild, and they had been contained to that point. But on the other side, I would say that a Jack Eichel, somebody like that, is also due for a breakout game. Maybe he has his game five in game six, like Svechnikov did, or Sebastian Aho.
It's possible. But I think if Carolina's top players are starting to score, along with Jordan Staal having an historic Stanley Cup final performance, Logan Stankoven, who's been scoring goals all postseason long, and Carter Hart appears to have been figured out. And although Carolina's goaltending hasn't been much better, I just feel better about where the Hurricanes are right now as a team. Even like despite the 3-2 series lead. I mean, obviously that's good for Carolina too. But I feel better about Carolina as a team right now than Vegas. So I think Carolina does it.
Do you think there's anybody out there going, "Well, Jordan Staal, he's 37. Is this hope for Steven Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly and Roman Josi, the guys who are there's still a couple years from 37. They got a lot of great hockey left in them."
What if Vegas choose to go away from Hart in net?
Can you imagine if Tortorella does that? He answered the question the way he did. Anything? And then turns around and starts the other guy after he made the media guy feel like a complete idiot for asking the question, a legitimate question.
I think Carter Hart starts.
But does he have a quick hook? That's the question. Like, you're facing elimination. What if he gives up too early? That would be something.
I think he doubled down on Hart. Ooh, I think he's got to stay. I think he's got to stay with Hart.
He's a pretty stubborn guy.
Indeed. But we will find out, maybe when we're back on the air Monday at 3 p.m., there will be two new champions. We'll see if the New York Knicks and the Carolina Hurricanes can finish off their respective championship series. We had a wonderful, wonderful week with all of you. Thank you for listening, as always. We will be back Monday at 3, reacting to the championship games we will all witness this weekend. I'm sure we'll do more belly aching about Cam Ward next week. Hopefully we'll keep it to a minimum. But mandatory minicamp is next week for the Tennessee Titans. There will be other players on the field other than Cam Ward. So hopefully we'll discuss them. But in the meantime, have a wonderful weekend. We will talk to you Monday at 3.
I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We will be back on these airwaves coming this upcoming Monday to talk about hopefully the Knicks winning a championship. If not, we'll be talking about a seventh game, or Carolina winning a championship, or talking about a seventh game with the Hurricanes and Vegas Knights. But either way, we will be back on these airwaves starting at 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. And as I always says, we're going to be talking and
you're going to be listening.
Peace.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.